On this week's show, we are joined by Matt Dabrowski, a man who simply wants to watch the world burn. Oh, and he's also the creator of Streets of Rogue, your new favorite game of all time. Brazil hosts an unofficial Nintendo Direct and showcases 25 Brazilian games. Meanwhile, Nintendo officially announces a new Switch. Sort of. Again. Speaking of official, we have a confirmed release date of Luigi's Mansion 3, and it sure is spooky, ladies and gentlemen. And finally, the Hype Zone delivers a knockout punch to your childhood. This is Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 108. Everybody, welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens episode 108 for the week of July 22nd, 2019. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is Andy Asimakis, who is just blown away by how well I did that cold read of his intro, and I could tell because of the heavy breathing. How are you, Andy?
Now, is a Brazilian more than a zillion? That's a lot of games. It's a lot of fucking games.
25 Brazilian,
Brazilian games.
I see what you did there. I didn't really pay attention to that. And our guest this week is Matt. How are you, Matt?
Hey there. Not bad. Thank you for having me on.
It's awesome to have you. Super excited. So this whole thing happened really quickly, at least from my end. I don't know, Andy, how long you were talking with Matt and the team over there. Like, I don't know, but
it was like two emails and it was over.
There was a tweet.
it was a tweet.
There was a tweet email with the game, and I was like, oh wow, that looks really good. And then like 15 minutes later, we had you booked for the show. It was insane. Yeah. it was lightning speed.
Well, the exact order was, oh, what's coming out this week? Oh yeah, this game. Let me email Matt. Oh wait. I'll check his Twitter. Oh, I'll retweet him and mention him and be like, oh, come on the show. And now we're here. And that's how we make magic, folks. That's our whole process.
It's a science, really, when you think about it. When you think about it. Well, for those of you that are new to Nintendo Dual Screens podcast, just like Matt is, this is an interview show where Andy and I bring on an industry guest to talk indies and Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, and YouTube. And of course, on dualscreens.com. You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, the Grandmaster himself, Alex Gonzalez. Thank you very much, Alex. Cannot continue to grow without your support. So thank you. Thank you, as always. Remember, every dollar helps. And more importantly, if you like what we do here on Nintendo Dual Screens podcast, the best way to support us is to share the show with your friends and on social media and help spread the word. All right. That's on you guys. You got to do it. Also, if you are an Apple Podcast listener, please head over to the reviews section. Give us a little review. I will read it on the show, which we have one that we definitely want to read, Andy. Maybe we'll do, you know what? I'm going to pull that up right now because
it changed my life.
It was a life changing review.
It was like going to church. It was like a sermon.
It was. By the way, folks, if you hear loud grumbling and crashing and whatever, there is quite the storm happening right now. So that's what's happening here in the old Brooklyn, New York City, as it were. Internet's being real slow, so this could be a problem. All right, here we go. Here's the review. This is from an anonymous reviewer.
That's how we like it.
Right. That's how we like our reviews. What a special show. 5 stars. Listen, I enjoy plenty of podcasts, but never have I experienced something so joyful and pure that it actually burned the cancer out of my body. Andy and Steve inspired me to call my mom again after 20 years of not speaking. I found Jesus because of this podcast. I showed this podcast to my friend who was having trouble sleeping, and after listening to one episode, he slept for 27 straight hours. Seriously, it's a really... It's really good. See what miracles you will experience when you give Nintendo Dual Screens a chance. It'll change your life.
Jeez, high praise. Wow.
Right?
We should have this guy take over our Twitter account and just run the show.
Very creative. And also, I really hope none of that was true, except for the fact that he likes the show. So yes, you can support us on Patreon. And speaking of Patreon, we do a giveaway each and every week. All right. As part of one of the goals that we hit on Patreon, we give something away every week. And this week we were giving away a copy of Professor Lupo and His Horrible Pets, which we had the creator Alesh on last week. Now, we are recording this way earlier than we normally do, so we don't know the winner as of this recording, but I am going to kick it away to future me, who's going to tell you the winner of the contest. So take it away, future Steve. Thank you, present Steve. I got to be honest, the situation you are in over there is way better than the situation that I'm in over here right now. It is way, way too hot. It is 96 degrees, and my children have lost their minds. But let's get to the winner, shall we? Click, 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 bloop, blop, bloop. The winner is Sam B. at SJB6991. Now, you says you're located in the UK. Hopefully, we could get you a European or EA, whatever the hell code name that is. Yeah, but anyway, you won. Sam B, SJB6991. Thank you for entering. And present Steve, back to you. Thank you, future Steve, and congratulations to whoever you are that won. What a fantastic, fantastic
what a
thing.
What a great person that won that contest.
What a great winner. A retweet person. Extraordinaire. Just the best retweeter there ever was. And that's no hyperbole. You could be a part of the show by emailing your comments, questions, and concerns to feedback at NDS Podcast. And boy, I know you have concerns. Speaking of, Andy, stop emailing your concerns to feedback at ndspodcast.com.
I have so many concerns.
So many concerns. All right. Yeah. Before we get into the lead story in the Nintendo News Report, and before Matt just decides to press that hang up button, let's
and
get
blame
into
the weather.
Everybody's. Yeah, blame it. It was lightning. Yeah, lightning's over here too, guys. Everybody's favorite new segment, and that is the Nindies of the Week. Andy, what do you got for our Nindies of the Week segment this week?
I don't think you want to know what I'm playing this week.
Oh, I don't?
It's one of those games.
Oh, no.
You know, it's that Sanran Kagura pinball sexy anime girl game?
Oh, yeah. Is that an indie? Is that considered an independent game?
But it's just so much fun. It's so stupid, and I don't know why. Listen, the gay men love boobies. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
I'm drawn to the boob, even as a gay man. I just love seeing them bounce around.
Were you pulled off of your mother's bosom too early as a child?
I may have been. I don't know.
Are you yearning
for
the bosom?
But it's so outrageous.
What is this game?
It's just a pinball game, but there's anime titties everywhere.
Right.
That's like the sales pitch.
Right.
That's all it is. It's just a pinball game with boobies.
Boobies.
Wait right. a second. Have sexy anime games taken over the Switch as well? Because, I mean, like, you look
it's
at the Steam new.
I mean, they had like the volleyball game. So it's like, yeah. Because they don't have a censorship policy, Nintendo. So like, yeah, whatever you want to do is throw it on there. We don't care.
Oh, wow. Times have changed. This is not the Mortal Kombat era anymore.
Oh, no. God, no.
It turns out they like money.
Yeah.
Turns out Nintendo's like, no, there are a lot of really, really sick degenerates out there that we can make millions of dollars off of. Throw it on there, no problem, no problem. Yeah, oh, you got jiggly boobies? Yeah, no problem. That's nothing. That's great. The Americans will love it. They'll eat it up.
So, yeah, I'm playing a bit of that. And today I just picked up Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Oh, no, you got it early, you bastard?
Yeah. So can you? We live like in the same area-ish, the same state, same city.
I think I was going to go digital on that.
You know the exact store I get it from.
Yeah, I do.
So, you know,
that's
your own damn fault.
You're a bad person.
You're a bad person.
No, fair enough.
We're both bad people.
Matt, are you playing any nindies that people should know about?
Oh, God, the only nindie I've played in ages is, well, yeah, Streets of Rogue. That's pretty much it. I got my eye on some, you know, like, I mean, I don't think nothing that recent. I kind of want to play that. Was that the Wonder Boy game that came out like last year? The one that looks really nice, and it's just like the Master System game, but like gussied up, and you can switch back and forth between the two of them. That looks pretty cool. Gonna have to check that out once I get some actual time. But I don't know what's been coming out lately. You'll have to fill me in.
Well, don't worry. That's gonna segue right into our next little segment here, which is the releases of the week. And in case you're wondering, yes, I am skipping what I'm playing because I'm still playing what I played last week because it's been like 2.5 days. So it's since our last recording. So yes, that's what I'm doing. Okay, sorry about it. Sorry, not sorry. You know what I mean? Roll Tide. All right, so here is what's coming out this week on the Nintendo Switch Entertainment System. Oh, you know what? Before we go on, I want to say a hearty congratulations and welcome to the family, because Maltese, one of our most loyal listeners and friends of the show, finally bought a Nintendo Switch after listening to the show for 2 years. So,
okay, it took him that long.
Congratulations, Maltese.
I'm pretty sure he wanted to for a long time, but he was like, these assholes are making me so anti-Switch right now. I'm going to hold off on this purchase.
Not too long ago, he was thinking that he would wait for a new Switch announcement. Then the Switch Lite was announced, so he said, okay, I don't want that.
And
so
he said, fuck all. Right. And he bought
the OG, and then, spoiler alert, they announced the new OG. So there you go. All right, so we got on 7/23, we have Run the Fan. Okay. I don't know what that is. We have Pawarumi. 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 Is that how you say that? I think that's how you say that. Hey, Battleship is coming. That's a big time game. Big time stuff there. Is that Battleship the game, the movie, the game?
I wonder. Is that Liam Neeson on the cover? I can't tell.
That existed. that did exist. I completely forgot about that movie. That did exist though, right?
It was like a Transformers movie, basically. That's what it was.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, Pawarumi looks pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, when was that movie? In the 2000s?
I think the 2010s.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, wow.
That was a problem. That sounds to me like a 2012 to 2014.
Like in the wake of Transformers
ideas.
Yeah. Right.
Fantasy Strike is coming out. That is $30. That's coming out on the 25th. We have Wolfenstein Youngblood. That's a fun time USA.
Yeah, right, no price tag.
Look at that. Brands just free. You just download it right now. Raiden. V, Director's Cut. I don't know if it's V or 5. I have no idea how many of those games there were. I'm a little out of loop on that. Caged Garden. Okay.
Say it.
All right.
Say it.
Caged Garden Cop. Robin. The Caged Garden Cock Robin. Now, is the cock named Robin, or is it a cock Robin?
I think it's a cock Robin.
Is it a caged garden cock?
I think it's a verb. You're cock robin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's the caged garden cock robin.
Right. There's no colon here.
Right.
Do you have any information about this game? What is the heck is this?
Let's right-click and open this in a new tab, shall we? Let's take a little journey into the caged garden cock robin. All right.
We're talking about boobs. We're talking about dicks.
Oh, my Lord. Okay.
This is how it goes in the podcast.
All right. A multi-ending system in which selection changes ending. I'm just reading this verbatim. After seeing 8 endings, what is waiting? ... A girl who was apprenticed to an old castle rumored as a nest of monsters. She witnessed, quote, something heteromorphic, end quote, which roamed around there.
Dick monsters.
Although people in the castle call it, quote, Komodori, end quote, nobody tries to talk details. Robin, alone, starts investigating the hidden truth, but 7 periods after that, quote, it's all right even if it's right. It's all right even if it's wrong, end quote. New quote, if I can choose only one path by which I won't regret, it's for me, comma, ... end quote.
Well, I'm not intrigued. I mean,
is this a rape simulator?
What the fuck is going on in this video game?
If it's even right, it's wrong. Even if it's wrong, it's right.
There's a screenshot that says choice. Where am I? Who are you? Why am I in bed? Oh my god. The Caged Garden Cock Robin. All right. Fire Emblem. Oh no. Zombie Driver Immortal Edition is coming out as well. Fire Emblem Three Houses. Oh my god. Okay.
Again, there really matters this week. Let's be honest.
Titans Pinball rounds out the week with Fire Emblem. So,
but does it have boobies? Titans Pinball. I don't think so.
Holy shit, man. Caged Garden Cock Robin might be the greatest game of all time.
I'm buying it.
Can you please record your gameplay so that we can do a video on YouTube? Because nobody on planet Earth is going to be making a YouTube video about that video game.
Oh, you'd be surprised. you don't know YouTube at all.
Okay, I just looked it up. So it's like a visual novel, right?
Right. I guess. Like sure. Okay. Yeah. It's a Cock Robin.
Maybe.
Yeah. We've gotten a Cock Robin.
Cock Robin sounds like a 1946 rock and roll song, like right before the rock and roll was huge. It was like, what are we going to sing about? How about that Cock Robin, man? Yeah, let's sing about the Cock Robin.
Cock Robin. I want Robin, a sign cock, over cock my Robin. Door that says, Gone Cock Robin.
Oh, I see what you did there. It's a play on words.
Back in 5 minutes.
Oh, good Lord. All right, well, that's going to lead us into the lead story, which is all about Streets of Rogue. Matt, you did that. That's a thing you
yeah.
did.
Yeah, I guess so. I know, it's weird, right? Yeah.
You did a beautiful thing there, Matt. A beautiful, wonderful thing, and I thank you for it.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I am ignorant to Streets of Rogue because I have not had a chance to do anything or any sort of, like this, I'm telling you, getting you on the show sprung on me really quickly. So for me, and for our listeners who don't know what Streets of Rogue is, give us the little pitch. Give us the elevator pitch. What is it?
Sure. Well, see, this is the issue. There really is no like succinct elevator pitch to the game. It's a really weird, hard game to describe. So, but I'll try to give you an idea of what the gameplay is like. So you get dropped into a city, which is procedurally generated. It's like a top-down, kind of like Zelda-style view, but it plays more... Well, it's kind of like Grand Theft Auto meets Deus Ex. It's like... So you get dropped into this procedurally generated city. You get some objectives, like you might have to neutralize a person, you might have to steal something from a building, you might have to escort someone, rescue a prisoner and escort them somewhere. And the idea is that you have a lot of different ways that you can complete these tasks. Like, for example, you know, you, if you're a soldier, you could just go in and murder everybody. You could shoot everyone with your gun. If you're a thief or like an assassin or someone, you could use stealth and, you know, maybe go up and backstab people. If you're a hacker, you could hack computers. You could put things in the vents of the building and, you know, poison people. The idea is just to give the player a whole lot of choice in how they want to approach the different aspects of the game. And also you can play, it's mostly balanced around single player, but you can play with multiple players either, locally or online, up to four players actually. And, you know, you can wreak havoc together and, you know, find, you know, all kinds of combinations of ways to merge your strategies together with different character classes and, you know, be more effective that way. So I think that about sums it up.
So how do you, so how does like the character, creation and or selection, how does that work? Is that like before each level? Is it like when you start the game? Like how does that kind of character progression start?
So this is a rogue light. Basically how it works is you choose a character, you know, you have like 24 character classes or you can create your own. And that character throughout the run, that character continues to gain abilities and things and items and become more powerful. And then if they die, you know, you basically lose everything and have to start again. But you can also unlock things on your way, sort of like an Enter the Gungeon or Binding of Isaac. So you get this currency in the game called chicken nuggets. Chicken nuggets. Yeah. So as you get chicken nuggets, you can go back to your home base and unlock things like new traits that can appear in the game or new items that can appear in the game. And that's how you kind of make progression. And new characters also. You start off with like 8 character classes available, I think, and then you can get up to 24. So all is not lost if you die, basically.
So before we get into like Andy's game, the experience questions, I want to know a little backstory on this, because this sounds like a game was started, like you started making a game and then you just kept getting more ideas and just piling on top of like these original mechanics, and then like it kind of just snowballed out of control. And so wow, that was loud lightning. That was quick. That was right here.
I didn't hear
good Lord. See, my parents, that's a little side note, my parents' house was struck by lightning in 2011. While I was at work, then girlfriend, now wife at the time, was like in the basement, and like it was flash, boom, and then maybe an hour later, fire. So like I get like freaked out when it's really loud and bright lightning. So anyway, So can you speak a little bit on how these mechanics all kind of blend, started to blend together? Was it something that you always set out to do? Was that your original plan? Or was it something that kind of just, it was like a happy accident type situation?
Yeah, I mean, the original plan was always to have this kind of emergent gameplay where there's all these kind of things that you can do in the game. And, you know, you can, you know, things happen that maybe the developer didn't anticipate, you know, just like a kind of, you know, like, I guess in typical Deus Ex-ish fashion. But the way that all came together was, well, it just took a really long time to make, like 5.5 years. I think just because in large part, just because, yeah, when you throw this many elements into the mix, making them all kind of work well together is like when you play the game, it might not be evident, but like a lot of time went into like bug fixing and polish and just making everything, you know, work smoothly. So it was just a lot of like polish and bug fixing and listening to a lot of user feedback to get it to where it was. This game started off in Steam Early Access, or actually even before that, it was free even before Early Access. It's been available to people for about almost 4 years now on the internet. And I had this within the game, there was a user feedback form. So you could just click something and people could just submit feedback to me anytime. And it would just go directly to my email. So, it's scary and fun at times and rewarding, but also most people are pretty nice, actually. Surprisingly.
Can you give us an instance on something that maybe you definitely wanted to be in this game that through the years of feedback just decided that it wasn't going to be possible? Or was there any situation like that? Or was it like just additive and no subtraction?
I mean, very little, actually, as far as like, I mean, I knew from this, like, there's things that people have asked for over time that I knew would never be in the game, like cars, for example, animals, you know, everybody in the game is a human being, except for the gorilla, but, you know, he's kind of, right. He kind of walks on two legs in the game. But, yeah, aside from major, you know, things like, I always wanted to have like leaderboards online, but in the actual gameplay itself, there's very little that I had wanted that I had to cut. I'm trying to think of specific examples. I mean, there's definitely things I still want to add post launch.
Whatever you could think about it. I mean, I was just curious because with game, like one of the situations that happens with a lot of devs is that like they may have this huge idea and then it's all about trimming it down to make it, you know, workable, like something like that. And it seems opposite way. Andy, let's get you involved in this conversation if you don't mind, unless your computer froze and you're gone forever.
Yeah. I want to frame this conversation with the chicken nugget as the backdrop.
Right. Okay. Sure.
Because, you know, we mentioned the chicken nugget, but we've yet to say how the main foe in this game is a mayor who has banned chicken nuggets from the city.
That's your main goal. Real piece of shit is what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess my first question is, Matt, why the chicken nugget?
I honestly just thought it was a very amusing currency. So here's the thing. I don't know. It's been said before that the word chicken McNugget, McNugget is actually like one of the funniest words in the English language. I mean, I didn't use McNugget, but still, I mean, nugget's like halfway there.
The fact that McNugget is a word, like, is that something that's in the dictionary right now? Is that a thing?
I don't know, but apparently, like, it got like one of the biggest laughs ever on the Johnny Carson show. Apparently, was involved the use of the word McNugget. So I was just like, chicken nuggets. That's pretty funny. I'll just put that in there. People seem to appreciate it. I mean, I could have used any other kind of currency, but I was just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, nothing in the game makes any sense anyways. So,
it really does not.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a bullet point here that says you can throw toilets at people.
Yeah.
And that's all it says.
Yeah.
That's the only bullet point. And it says just that.
Yeah. So I was pretty much just like if it sounds cool, I'll just throw it in there. I'll find a way to make it work. You know, throw toilets, whatever.
Everything including the kitchen sink.
Right.
Of course. One of the things about the game that really caught me off guard was, again, it's really zany and over the top, but it has a really sophisticated AI system.
Yeah.
That does not put up with your crap, quote unquote. So what was that process like making this AI, and how important was it to make it as responsive and reactive as it is in the game?
Well, it was super important, actually. I mean, when I first started development, you know, back in late 2013, I didn't know anything about artificial intelligence. And that was actually the first thing I started working on, because I knew that the AI would need to be really on point for this thing to work at all. Like, you couldn't be just exploiting the AI all over the place. It had to, you know, be able to react in a lot of different ways in a lot of different situations. And, you know, even today, I mean, it's still a work in progress. People are always finding little AI bugs all over the place. A ton of work has been done on it, but there's still probably going to be a ton of work done on it in the future, because it'll never be perfect. It'll never be able to react to anything. But it's just continuing to get polished for the entire cycle of development. It's super crucial for this game to work, and it's probably the reason why you don't see a lot of. Well, I mean, this is, from to the best of my knowledge, the only roguelite that has this kind of AI that works more like a Bethesda game or something like that. And I think the reason for that, or one good reason, is that it's just really hard to pull it off. So, really, really tough to do.
Yeah, I get like tones of like a CD Projekt or like a Witcher kind of game with this. It's like there's that level of everything you do can have some sort of impact on what's happening all around you.
Yeah.
And also when you mention games like Deus Ex, they wished it had this level of detail and player freedom. Get that out there, you guys. Because this game is... You can do so much shit in this game.
Oh, thank you. That's high praise. Yeah. That was the idea behind it. To be fair, they only had a 2-year development cycle. But
you're still just one guy at the end of the
day. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, I guess it is kind of impressive. Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because that is something that every once in a while we'll get a solo dev, or we just had what the hell's I'm so bad with remembering names, Matt. I'm gonna forget you in a week, and it was
Nick Gregory, Nick, from Nick, right. Pixel Nicks.
I kept saying Greg in my head, and I'm like, no, it's not Greg. So he essentially just hired a couple of people to help him with like some background art and music and stuff like that. So what was the situation with you as far as development? Like, how much did you do? Did you outsource anything? What was that like for you over the last 5.5 years?
Yeah, so I mean, for the first, I'd say two and a half years or so, it was just me solo in kind of a bubble. And then when the game became like a public thing and people started knowing about it, I started to outsource some stuff, like the environmental art in the game. Like, all of the walls and floors that you see are done by a guy named Matthew Weeks. And then Craig Barnes did all of the music and sound effects for the game. Then I brought on TinyBuild, the publisher, who handles all of the marketing and promotion and all that stuff, and a lot of the
we love TinyBuild.
A lot of the hookups. Yeah. Have you had contact with them before?
We went to PAX East. We hung out with in the booth and got to know some people. So yeah, good.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're real cool guys. Yeah. And then sort of later in the process, brought on this porting studio Play Everywhere to help out with the console versions. So it wasn't just me, but as far as like the full time like development, like most of the design and most of the code that went into the game was just me here, and I continues to be me as a full time thing. This has been my full time job since early 2015.
We have a couple of friends that are getting into game dev and or have been doing it for years, but like have struggled to find their rhythm as far as getting things out and finishing projects. So what advice would you give to either a novice game developer or somebody who's talented but is trying to do this by themselves? What kind of advice would you give them?
See, that's an issue I know that a lot of people have. That just, it's easy to start stuff and not easy to finish things, because it is a lot more fun when you're starting out working on a project, and as you get towards the end. I mean, I've spent the past 7 months or so just like polishing and fixing bugs, and it's like, when do I get to add new content and stuff? But if you want to release a game, this is what you have to do. So I totally understand. Like, you get starts out fun, gets dull, but I don't know. Like, I don't really have like, I don't really have any great advice for this other than like, hopefully the project you're working on is, you know, enticing enough for you that, I mean, I've worked on projects that I just didn't like that much. And that's when it's harder to actually kind of finish what you start. This right. one, I didn't really have that problem with. I never had like a motivation problem with it, but just in general, in my career, like it's been hard for me to kind of, I see that lightning out there. Whoa.
Holy crap. I heard that one.
Yeah.
Santa Claus shit.
yeah. Just like, it's always been hard for me to really do my best on things that I'm not like 100% behind. So yeah, hopefully you like your game enough that you can be 100% behind it. And maybe that'll keep you more motivated, I guess.
But, at what point did you say to yourself, this game is ready to come out of early access? It's like, okay, it's been 5 years. It's like, I've chugged along. I've made it. It's ready now to be like a full thing.
I don't think there was ever really a point when that happened. There was a point last year when, we thought for a bit that the game would need to be out on Xbox by the end of 2018. So I started like, I was like, okay, I need to really wrap this thing up. But, I mean, I was hoping to have it done much more quickly, but I mean, it never really feels finished to me. It's just there wasn't really a specific point I can pinpoint. Mm-hmm. But at some point you just kind of have to say, okay, this is enough for like a 1.0 release and I can keep adding content after this, but there's enough here that people are going to, you know, get their $20 worth. And I think it reached that point.
Oh, for sure. I feel that I've gotten so much out of this game than most games I charged, you know, twice as much, maybe three times.
great. Well, great to hear.
So is there like a roadmap for what's happening down the line for future content or updates or additional characters, for example?
Yeah. Honestly, I've never had a roadmap. People have asked me about that a lot. And the answer is just like, I have a big list of things that I can potentially add to the game. And I kind of just add stuff based on what I think I'd like to add and what other people are kind of itching for at the time. You know, if I realize like I haven't added any new characters in a while, I'll be like, oh yeah, I should probably get to that. So yeah, I'm actually not sure what I'm going to start adding first when it comes to content. That's kind of a mystery at this point, even to me. But
you know what I hear helps? A public Trello board. So if you can just make one of those public Trello boards.
So I've heard, yeah.
Keep us in the loop because, you know, forward facing, you know how it is. So tell everybody where they can purchase Streets of Rage.
Are we wrapping up this already? Still, I have a question from one of our Twitter followers.
That's right. We did get questions. Yeah, I apologize. I'm sorry.
Hey, we're not done yet.
I'm just trying to move the little paddle boat along. That's all. This little beautiful doggy paddle boat. Yes, go ahead. Read our question because we have a
question from Alex Van Aken, our good friend at OK Beast Podcast.
OKBeast.com.
He has two questions. He asks, what sort of ground do you typically cover in pre-production? And how thorough are your design documents before starting production on a new game?
Oh, I mean, well, this has been the major thing that I've been involved with for the past 5.5 years. So like starting a new game, I mean, this was like the only game I've started in the past, like, well, one of the only two games I've started in the past decade. So pre-production, I mean, non-existent. I just sort of jumped in and started. I learned, like, I was reading like a book about AI, and, you know, I read up a little bit about procedural generation, and it was like, okay, I gotta get these two things working. And then, you know, I mean, yeah, I just pretty much just jumped in. Far as design doc, I mean, I just kind of like added to it as I went along. You know, I didn't really start out with a whole lot. I had a general idea of what the game was going to be, and it turned out pretty close to what I thought it was going to be, actually. But I mean, as a solo person, I think there's less of a need for that kind of stuff since it's all just kind of in my head anyways. Right. So yeah, is that answer? Did I answer both?
Yeah. That's a great answer.
Let's check.
You inspire helping us all.
I'm going to check the Discord to see if there's any other questions that I missed. So while I open that, Andy, if you have any other questions that you would like to ask.
Well, yeah, I think one of the key things I'd like to ask here on the show is, what's it like seeing your game on a Nintendo platform?
That's weird. Really, really surreal, I have to say. You know, it's like, yeah, whoa, this thing is actually here on this Nintendo handheld. This is blowing my mind right now. Like, because actually, it's funny. I actually didn't even get to see it running on the Switch until like March, when it was. I don't actually have a dev kit at my house. I never ended up getting one for whatever reason. So like, you know, the porting team had been working on it for some months before that, and I finally got to try it out on Switch, and I was like, oh god, yeah, this is Streets of Rogue on the Switch. This is pretty cool.
They're like, yeah, we got this.
yeah.
Awesome sauce. So yeah, all right. So then let's tell everybody where they can get this, because I feel like that is Steven, people need to know.
This is a stream in the making between both of us.
Oh, I know. Well, either stream, or as we had mentioned, we were thinking about moving Tuesdays with Andy and Steve to be a weekly YouTube show, so that we can
either way
be a little bit more polished. But still, Tuesdays with Andy and Steve on Twitch sounds like a perfect opportunity for us to run around and
oh, and to confirm, we can play online on
yes,
the Switch.
Yes, Matt had okay mentioned this at the top, and it
just, well, you never know. Sometimes
the
it's only
went off.
And yeah, it's always like, oh, wait, not on the Switch.
True.
But yeah, this is good.
So PS4, Xbox, Steam,
yeah,
Switch.
PS4, Xbox, Steam, Switch. You can get it on all the eShops for those different consoles. There's no physical release yet. We'll maybe working on that. I don't know. I've been in talks, so we'll see.
Maybe some limited edition big old box with a collectible. Who knows? Who knows, guys?
Yeah.
Nobody knows. We have an address you could send it to. Okay, so that is Streets of Rogue. That is Matt, and you are awesome, Matt. And now you got me super excited. I was excited already after looking at it, but now I'm actually just going to clear the slate, and we're going to dive in, because I can't have Andy just showing off. You know what I mean? When we start streaming together and playing together, I can't just have him showing off.
I buy all the best games, dude. It's all
no. No.
Content.
Absolutely not. You started off by talking about some goddamn waifu pinball game. So don't talk to me about you buying the best games. You buy the most games. you buy the most games. That's what you do.
You say the words waifu pinball, ears will perk up, my friend. That is a fact. That's a scientific fact.
I guess you got a point. Speaking of scientific facts, we have some news to go over. I know it's only been a couple of days since you last got news from us, so it's a little light on the news, but there is news nonetheless.
There you go.
That's the word I was looking for. So let's get into the Nintendo News Report. Andy, hit us up with this first bit of news.
So this kind of caught me off guard. This Brazil hosted a unofficial Nintendo Direct, and they were really, really sure to get that point across. It was a please don't shut us down moment from Brazil. Like, Nintendo, we're just about getting our developers together and showcasing their great games that we're working on. Please leave us alone. But the format, it's like a mirror image of a Direct. Did you watch this thing? It's like a 25-minute thing.
No, I wasn't able to. I will after we shut down. So give us the rundown. Tell us what happened.
Well, you know, they showed off games like Chroma Squad. They talked about Dandara for a while. I'm trying to think what else was on there. They showed off 25 games. They talked about Mario Kart 8 for some reason. It was pretty neat.
Now, a part of the reason for this was to bring awareness to the fact that they don't have a Brazilian either language version of their normal,
yes,
Nintendo Directs. They don't really cater to Brazilian audiences, and they were trying to say, hey, here are 25 games, 25 developers here in Brazil that are supporting the Nintendo Switch. We're here too. Please include us. That was kind of, and there was a petition to go around with this. That was to get, I guess it's Portuguese, or they have Portuguese Spain,
yeah,
version, or
they
like
were showcasing a lot of games are going to be in Portuguese, which is kind of neat.
Right. Yeah. So like, it wasn't just to say, hey, let's toot our own horns. This was for a good cause. This is because there's
right
a huge audience that is being, for lack of a better term, ignored right now, and they wanted to bring attention to that. So kudos to you guys, and I will check it out. I honestly forgot it. Our schedule, recording schedule thing is thrown all off these next 2 weeks, because you're going to Japan, and it makes me sad.
Well,
that you're leaving me.
I learned one neat thing, not neat, but a fun fact about Brazil and their pricing with the Switch.
Uh-huh.
The Switch costs $479 in Brazil, uh-huh. and games can cost $80.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I hear a lot of people there. They buy a Switch and they buy all their games on the eShop because it's region free.
Right. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So it does help alleviate the cost, but they're hoping this could help draw attention from Nintendo. Like, hey, can you at least lower your console? Because Microsoft and Sony have much cheaper consoles available in Brazil.
Right.
Right to Nintendo. So that's a little.
I wonder why that is. All right, moving along. Matt, do you have any thoughts on the Brazilian situation here?
On the Brazilians?
No. I honestly know nothing. Sorry, I know nothing.
we've had a few on our show. The folks that created Dundara, where I think we're our first.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that game actually.
Fantastic.
It's funny. I remember posting on TigSource.com.
I don't.
TigSource, it's like these forums where a lot of indie game developers post like early versions of their games. TigSource is kind of like the main hub for that stuff, or at least it was. I first posted on Streets of Rogue back there, and yeah, I remember them posting about that game years ago there. Like, you know, I responded. I was like one of the first responders to their post. This was like 2015 or something like that. So
just going to bookmark this page right now.
It's a beautiful.
There it is.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful video game. So good luck to all of you down there in Brazil. Get it done. Keep pushing. Keep fighting the fight. Second bit of news here, and this one was one that pissed off a lot of people and then confused more people, and then I had to put out some fires in our Discord because Nintendo Dual Screen Superfan and Resident Idiot Zach started flailing around like a dumb idiot. So, Nintendo announced that there is a new base Switch model that is going to be slowly replacing the current Switch model. They don't necessarily speak on what the changes are physically inside the device, but what they are saying is that this is going to be a improved battery life type situation. So, It's much like the PSP 2000 and the PSP 3000, those iterative little leaps, just kind of like quality of life situations. So the model number is HAC-001-01, and if you look on the UPC, I believe it has the X... What is it? XKW is the UPC there. It raises the battery life by about 20%. So you're getting... The OG model gets 2.5 to 6.5 hours of battery life in handheld mode. This is going to get 4.5 to 9 hours of battery life. That's
20%. It's like 33% or so, right?
Yeah, is it? Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It's a punch.
Math is hard, guys. I think it was 26%. Let me see. 7.5. And then I have I'm a construction.
Are you doing math now?
I'm a construction estimator, so I have a percentage calculator. 26.66% increase in power. In battery life. Could they have put the new Tegra chip in there to lessen the heat output, thus needing less fan power to make this thing a little, run more efficiently? Who knows? Maybe is it a new screen? Did they get a new part that uses less power? Who knows? But either way, it's going to be out in August. It's going to start replacing all the OG models. So there's that. And sorry, Maltese, I know you just bought your Switch. You were waiting for something.
I was going to say, do you think that will stall some of the sales if it's a better, it's a slightly better option? I mean, for me, I play most of my games in dock mode. And when I'm on handheld, I never really care about the battery life wearing out. Never an issue for me. I'm not playing for like hours and hours on end in handheld.
I think it's super smart for them to do that because they they're definitely going to want to sell their old stock, right? But now they have a month to do it, essentially. But guess what? We just said what's coming out this week. And Fire Emblem Three Houses is going to sell Switch consoles. So
yes,
people are not going to wait a month.
Yeah, I really don't think it's going to stall sales. And I'll tell you why. Because most people are not as keenly aware of this stuff as we are. So yeah, the average person just this is not on their radar, you know?
Yeah, the average person's a big dumb idiot. Speaking of big dumb idiots, we fell for we fell for some of those one of those leaks one of those supposed leaks for a release date of Luigi's Mansion last week. But now we have official word of when Luigi's Mansion is coming out. It was some Germany thing. I don't know. Somebody leaked something. But they said it was
a reliable source.
It was, but yeah. You know, we're still idiots. So October 4th was the rumored release, but it has actually been announced that in America, by Nintendo of America, I'll just read the tweet here. When Luigi's friends go missing on vacation, it's up to our reluctant hero to save them from the ghosts in the Last Resort Hotel, which is a great name for the hotel. Last Resort. That's awesome. Join forces with Luigi, slam ghosts, and prepare for a spooky treat when Luigi's Mansion 3 arrives to the Nintendo Switch on 10/31.
Ooh. You know, there's one more spooky thing coming out at the same time, Steven, that was announced today.
Dun, dun.
And that's the Resident Evil triple pack.
Resident Evil.
Coming out on the 29th. You can get Resident Evil 4, 5, and 6 for $60.
No, you can't.
Ain't that a bargain?
No, you can't.
Yeah, it says
no,
right here.
No, you can't. You get Resident Evil 4, and then you have to have a big enough fucking memory card to download 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm. Well, you still pay that one low price for those three games.
God damn it, Capcom. God damn it, Capcom. Mom. Speaking of Capcom, it's time to get into the hype zone. And boy, this is a good one.
Oh, what the fuck? This is just nutty.
This is a good one. Matt, are you ready for this hype zone? Because holy shitballs.
I'm not sure.
You should be. Because we're going to take a trip down. We're going to connect 1991 to 2019. What do you think has happened between... What story arc here could we possibly be talking about that started in 1991 and ends here in 2019?
Street Fighter.
Holy shit.
Very good. Now he's cheating because I said Capcom. Now.
Nope.
So what was...
Guy's a legend.
Just as big, if not bigger, than Street Fighter in 1991?
You mean in terms of video games or just in general?
In terms of just pop culture and the world.
The new kids on the block.
Good guess. The answer is Mike Tyson. And according in Kotaku, oh my God, this is just crazy. So apparently he just learned now, 6 a.m. today this was posted, so it was probably 2 days ago, just learned about M. Bison / Balrog.
Oh wow.
Just now learned about this. So in America, in Japan, Balrog is called M. Bison. Apparently Capcom was concerned about legal liability and changed the character's name to Balrog, which was M. Bison's name in Japan. So they just name swapped. So they showed him pictures of Balrog. And he just looks at it and he's like, wow. And he had no idea that this was the thing. And also in that video, he plays Mario Kart 8 and horribly. But that's neither here nor there. So they asked him if you've ever seen this character before. And his response was never in a million years. I'm really honored with that impersonation of me. That was his quote about it.
Listen, was it his ears that were bitten off? Because how did he not hear about this? I don't understand how you can go like decades not knowing that it's a spitting image of him.
I know. You'd think somebody would have mentioned it. I mean, to be fair, it's not the most visible, like public. It's not like Chun-Li where everybody knows who Chun-Li is, where you got a Nicki Minaj song and all that, but you don't have like a Balrog song, right? But still, I mean,
He also may not have remembered correctly. Because it said Tyson, it's at the end here, it says Tyson had heard about M. Bison on his podcast in April, then calling the game creators, quote, dirty motherfuckers and quote, jackasses. When ESPN showed Tyson the Street Fighter 2 pugilist, he replied, quote, holy moly, does he look like me? End quote. Yes, in the clip, does which is seen like below, Mike. Tyson does mention that there might be a serious lawsuit.
Wow.
This is pretty hype, boys. This is it.
that's about as hype as it gets. If we, now, obviously, we have to get Mike Tyson on the show.
All right, this is the next step.
Yeah.
Next level shit. We were just discussing in our top 10 boss battle conversation, our bonus episode for our Patreon supporters.
Yes, patreon.com/NTSpodcast.
So I love how it all comes full circle.
Plug, plug, wink, wink, plug, plug.
Plug, plug, wink, wink. Plug, plug. Mike Tyson wink, that is.
Indeed. Andy, are you ready with the Retro Game Club?
I have a game.
I'm very excited about
it. It's been a great game. I'm ashamed that I chose it.
We're getting free hints here, Matt. So,
but we're here.
This is good stuff.
So I'm hoping Matt is well-versed in horrible games.
Perfect. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right, Matt. This is how the Retro Game Club works. I don't know if you've listened to the show before, but this is a fun segment. A lot of people love this segment, and it is a lot of fun. It's a little game show that we like to play here. Andy, and we alternate every week. Andy isn't currently in the lead, but Andy's going to give us 10 clues about a retro game that is on a Nintendo console from the GameCube and previous, or handheld. Excuse me. After each clue, we can guess what the game is. The sooner we guess it, the more points we get. However, we only have 3 total guesses, so you got to be careful with your flippantly throwing guesses around, okay? Gotcha. If we would like to ask a yes or no question, we could do so, but we forfeit one of our guesses, okay? Mm-hmm. So if we feel like we might be in a certain direction and we want to, you know, narrow it down a little bit, we could ask a yes or no question, just like, you know, like 20 questions or something like that. Do you understand the rules?
I do, yes. All right,
so if we get it in the first clue, we get 10 points, and the second clue, 9 points, and it goes down to 0 until we don't get it. So Andy is winning 25-17. He did start the season this year, so I could catch up a little bit here. Last week's game was Sin and Punishment, which is the one I chose, and I think you guys got 4 points, 3 points? 3 points. 3 points, I think. But either way, I'm a little behind, so I'm going to lean on you a little bit, Matt, because I am awful at this. All right, okay. Andy. A game that I created, and on day one of this podcast, I am awful at. Okay.
All right.
108 episodes ago. Andy.
Let's do this.
Let's play the Retro Game Club.
This game was released in the 1990s for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
An NES 1990s okay. game. Okay.
All right. So late era. Okay.
Late era. Okay. Andy likes to play games. He likes to take elements of the game that the guest is bringing to talk about. He likes to take elements and pick a game in that genre or that has like some sort of weird tie. So it could be the word Streets, for example, like a Streets of Rage or something. It could have the word Rogue. It could be a roguelite. It could be a game with multiple classes in it. There's going to be some sort of tie. So right now, that's where I'm going to focus.
I'm playing 4D chess, and I've made you believe that over the course of 100 episodes.
Just for this moment?
To get to this moment.
Fair enough. All right, I have no guesses right now, so let's get our next clue for 9 points.
All right. The game features 5 stages, the first 4 of which can be played in any order.
Ooh, 5 stages. First 4 can be played in any order. I have like one idea right now.
Okay.
It might not even be. I mean, I can't say it because it's, yeah, that would be a guess. So
we could talk amongst ourselves.
Okay. The only thing I can think of right now is like Darkwing Duck on the Nintendo. It's a Capcom thing. I know you guys were talking about Capcom.
Yeah. See.
Right?
Okay. So, see, I like where you're going.
I think that was you could choose any stage in that. That's the thing that
Darkwing
pops
Duck
in my mind right now.
Was
or is it Street Fighter 2010 maybe?
We had the Street Fighter 20 whatever it was 15 or whatever the hell the game was.
Okay,
we had that
2015.
We had that on the show before. So
the final fight.
Okay. The final fight. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that was one that Andy got 0 points on.
No, I think I'll be 1 or 2 points on that one.
Listen, for 9 points, I'm okay with guessing that. I'm okay with going with your intuition. So I'm more than happy to do that. So, Andy, is this game, for 9 points, is it Darkwing Duck?
That's a great guess, but it is sadly not Darkwing Duck.
Okay, understood. Okay. Understood. Okay. All right, next clue for 8 points.
There's trouble you call DW. Okay, this game was featured in a PlayChoice 10 arcade machine.
Oh, okay.
And for those who don't know, the PlayChoice 10, it was a series of arcade cabinets that had about 10 or so Nintendo games.
All right, well, I'm going to assume it's like early 90s then in that case, because I don't...
Oh, yeah, NES, I think the last game came out on the NES proper in like 93, 94, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think these PlayChoice... I've never seen a PlayChoice 10 with something that was like beyond like, you know, like 91 or something like
that. It had Skyhawk on it, Captain Skyhawk. That was... I don't know if that was the 80s, though.
Oh, that was a great game.
It was a good game. I think they had a lot of those Disney games, though, so you might be on the right track.
Oh, they did. Maybe my memory of the PlayChoice 10s is hazy. Then maybe they did go on further than I thought they did.
Gauntlet was on one. That's 80s. Hogan's Alley was on one. They used to have... So I had this local arcade that had one of these cabinets, and I forever thought that it was like they created it. Because I didn't know that I was a dumb idiot kid. I was 6 years old, whatever I was. So I didn't know like these things existed. But my grandfather used to bring home those like bootleg Nintendo games with like 100 games on it and stuff like that from like Funko Land. So like I just thought that this was
Funko Land?
Yeah, like yeah, exactly. Funko Land.
I didn't even know they sold those at Funko Land. That's news to me. But
Was before GameStop bought them out. But yeah, he used to go out and buy like used games and stuff like that. So let's think.
Yeah, I got nothing right now.
They did a lot of licensed games on that. Are they all Capcom games? I think they are, right? Like, it's a Capcom thing, right?
PlayChoice 10?
Captain Scout, was that a Capcom game?
No,
that
it wasn't. Helps you. Oh, okay.
That was definitely not a Capcom game.
I think maybe.
All right, let's get the next clue.
All right. This is a good one. This game is what Super Mario Brothers 2 was to Doki Doki Panic.
Okay, so Super Mario 2 was the American version, so that means that whatever came out here was a reskinned version of something from overseas.
Something. That would make sense. I guess that's probably right. Or it could potentially be just a completely different, like, you know, like Ghostbusters 2, I think, was completely different on Nintendo than it was in Famicom or something. But you're probably right just a different.
It could also be a different sequel, like a game that was a sequel to something that wasn't originally part of the series that they reskinned. That could be the tie to Mario 2 as well.
I know they those games that like the Bugs Bunny Crazy Castle were always like some version of some just generic kind of game they did in Japan, and they would always tack that onto like different licenses. Like I think they tacked it onto Ghostbusters, actually, come to think of it, on Game Boy at least. Like that play style. But it's probably not it. I don't know.
Well, he did say it was NES, so All right, let's get another clue, Andy.
Yeah.
Alrighty, let's see what we got here. Oh, okay. This developer has made games for some of the most noteworthy publishers in gaming, including Namco, Activision, Taito, Konami, Sega, and yes, even Capcom.
Tecmo.
No, Taito, not Tecmo. I didn't say Tecmo.
No, you said no. I'm saying the developer. You said right.
No, they worked with. Oh, you're guessing about the developer.
Yeah, okay, I'm trying to figure out the developer. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good for you. Good job.
Developer, as in like as in a group of developers, and not like a single person.
This developer has worked on games for many publishers, and I gave you a whole list of those they've worked with before.
Back then Rare did a lot, Atlas did a lot of weird shit, like before they became the Atlas we know.
Micronics, and they do was that mostly Capcom? I mean, I want to say Rare just because, like, you know, it's so many games for the Nintendo for so many publishers. I don't know if they, but did they do any for like Capcom or did, what was the choices, the publishers there?
Taiko.
Hudson Soft, maybe?
Did a lot of, I think
they published.
But here's the thing. He might be trying to trick us up. So this might have been still published by the developer. Like, it's just that this developer has also done stuff for other publishers. I think, is that how you phrase the clue, Andy?
So I did not say if the developer also self-published, but the developer has worked with a lot of publishers. So this game could have been published by one of those people, one of those companies, as far as we know. So it could be published by Konami or Capcom or Sega.
I think
get us down now.
I think I want to go with Atlas.
Probably not Sega because this is on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I want to go with Atlas because Atlas was one of those companies that was just making games just for everyone. Let me think of the Atlas games. The 90s though. That's the other thing.
Oh, man, your history is pretty strong. You should be on Retronauts or something like that.
The reason why this is like a weird thing is because of researching for the Retro Game Club. Like, I'm always looking. I like to pick games that I've played. But recently I've been going back and just looking into publishers and developers and stuff like that. And, you know, or games that I think Andy would find funny that I pick, even, you know, whether they're good or bad, they might just be, you know, an interesting story to tell.
Sure. Piss me off, basically.
Essentially, yes.
Like that Surf Shop game. Oh my god.
I have a guess, but I don't want to use this guess.
Hold on, I'm thinking. It could be Skate or Die.
Where Matt's head's at.
We did have TNC Surf Designs on this.
Yeah, right.
I love where Matt's head is at.
Which means you're way off. So move along.
Do you want to venture a guess or should we go to the next clue? What do you think? What are we thinking, boys?
I kind of want to know what game was reskinned for this because that's got to be what it was.
Oh, right. There's that clue also.
So, wait. Okay. Mario 2 was reskinned to be Mario because people wouldn't recognize the character or, like, those characters here in the States. So, it's got to be... They had to have changed it to either be a licensed game for, like, a big cartoon character or something like that, so the Disney thing fits.
That's why I was thinking Bugs Bunny Crazy Castle, because I think that might have started life in Japan as something completely different.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, let's do another clue. How many points is this? Seven points?
Let's see what we got here.
This is for 6 points.
Okay. The game implemented one-hit deaths, but you can also die if time runs out.
God, I hate those mechanics.
Wait, say that again one more time.
So, one-hit kills. So, if you hit once, you're dead. But if time ran out, you'd also die. So there's two ways to die. There's no health meter.
Library. All right. So.
It's just, think of it like Contra in Castlevania. Or, you know, you have one-hit kills and the timer against you.
I think I might have an idea. Could it be Contra Force?
Contra Force. Oh, fuck, who would have designed Contra? No, that would have been Konami. Konami, no?
Contra Force was something else. I mean, that didn't start life as a Contra game. That was not originally a Contra game. And I think you chose Stages. So, I mean, that's not a real Contra game.
Mm.
They just brought it over to the U.S. because they... slapped on Contra, I think, because I thought it would sell more or something.
What was the name of the game where? Fuck, I don't know if this was on Playtime.
Here's a fun bonus fact. Oh God, there is a Contra game in the player 10 choice thing, the arcade games.
So it's not going to be that easy. Okay. All right. What was the game where you shot a giant like those like from fucking what's it called like those Acme big giant fists? There was a game. Oh man, that game sucked. I keep thinking of Roger Rabbit, but it's not Roger Rabbit. But it's like Roger Rabbit, but it's not. Fuck.
Yeah, not really. Not.
Is there
nothing coming to mind here? Big cartoon fists.
I'm not thinking of. It might be thinking of one of the Disney games, but I don't think Atlas made any of the Disney games.
Again, I could have sworn that might be one of the Bugs Bunny games. The
Top
Birthday Blow,
Top
Birthday
Cat
Blowout.
Was there a Top Cat game?
Top Cat.
Do you remember Top Cat? Mm-hmm. Top Cat was awesome. Hanna-Barbera. Could it be a Hanna-Barbera thing?
I think your next clue may give you a little nudge in the right direction.
All
right,
that's for 5 points. Next clue.
This game was based on a license.
Is it a Flintstones game?
Flintstones. No, it's the Jetsons. It's the Jetsons. Sorry.
There was a Jetsons game?
I'm kidding. But there was a Jetsons game, yeah. I think for Nintendo. If I recall correctly. Pretty sure that's real. I'm pretty sure that's real.
It's not a license.
Trying to think of like the weird cartoons, man. I don't know. Oh,
I think this next one's gonna like the ultimate game.
You said that about the last one, you fucker.
Well, it helps confirm something. This is like the ultimate. This is the ultimate one.
This is the ultimate.
If you,
for 4
don't
points,
don't get me here. I have no faith in you. All right, okay. This is it. If you guys can't get it with this one, I am ashamed for myself and for both of you.
I think I know what it is. I think I know what it is. So let's see. Let's get this next clue.
This game came bundled with a coupon for $1 off Domino's Pizza.
$1 off. Okay. It's Yonoid.
Are we locking in Yonoid?
It's not the other one. It's
there's another one that there was Domino's Pizza. Oh Jesus!
Are we locking in Yonoid?
It was like Rocket Cats or something, some shit like that.
You might be right. It's possible. I can imagine Domino's bundling something.
It was like Rocket Cats or something. I'm telling you, I know. Oh man, it can't be Yonoid. I don't think it's Yonoid. I mean, I guess
how many games had pizza coupons in them?
Okay.
Like
fine.
I had the Ninja Turtles game had a personal pan pizza coupon.
It did, and that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. Is that the name of the game though? Is it Rocket Cats? There was a game that took place in New York City, and it stars a cat, like a New York street cat, like Top Cat.
All right, you know what?
He might have been from Chicago though.
I'll give you guys this: the game does take place in New York City.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the name of it. Is it?
That's a little bonus clue.
I think it's like Rocket Cats or something.
Yeah, guys, I don't know.
Google it.
Steven, you gotta make a guess or moving on.
Fuck. I don't want to guess Yonoid. I feel like he's trying to throw us all.
We can guess Rocket Cats and see what happens. What can I tell you?
What did you say? Did you hear that, Matt? Did you hear him fuck that up?
Wait, what did he say? I did not.
He told me to guess Rocket Cats.
Rockin' Cats.
Not Rocket Cats.
Oh, it's a
fuck.
Is it Rockin' Cats?
Are you locking in Rockin' Cats?
I'm locking this in, and I swear to God, if it's Yonoid, you're going to die. I'm going to murder you.
So just so you guys know, if the answer is wrong, we move on to the next clue.
That's correct.
Is not Rockin' Cats. We're moving
damn
on.
Damn it. Oh my God, is it Yonoid?
Let's see what's going on here. Let it be known, Matt, your own teammate did not trust you and your instinct.
No. It has nothing to do with me not trusting him. I don't trust you.
Not.
I don't trust your bullshit hint giving. New York City. It's got. Man, I guess it's got to be Yonoid, but your, I don't remember.
Well, but your, did it have? Yeah, that's the thing. I don't remember that having a so level.
Your
select,
main so. Weapons were a yo-yo, and a pizza crusher.
Okay.
Okay. How many games have a pizza crusher?
For 3 points, is this Yonoid?
It is Yonoid.
God, all right. Damn. All right.
That, I mean, that makes sense, but I thought you were trying to throw me off with that bullshit. The coupon bullshit.
Listen, Matt knew it.
The metagame is
Matt
worse.
Matt fucking knew it.
The metagame is hard.
Yeah.
Man. Yonoid's a bad game.
Is it? Did that actually? Wait, did that actually get released, or was it the California Raisins one that didn't get released?
Oh my god, I think that was also released.
No, one of them didn't get released. Like it actually did not come out on. Like it was not at retail.
Wait, I gotta Google this right now as we speak.
There were a lot of those games. I want a Mrs. Buttersworth pinball game.
No, I think one of those two games, California Raisins or Yonoid, it was like in all the magazines they gave it reviews and everything, just never came out.
Well, I see here, let's see, The Grape Escape.
Yeah.
Is what it was called.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I gotta save this in my back pocket for Retro Game Club. It was canceled due to the California Raisins' dwindling popularity and the decline of raisin sales in the late 80s and early 90s.
No joke though, California Raisins were everywhere when I was Sun-Made raisins, those little with the little red box.
Oh my god, could you guys, you can't make this shit up. The developer's name for California Raisins was Radiance. Oh boy,
this has been Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast. Wow. We're part of the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Wars, a PlayStation podcast, Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast, and PG Spoilers, a pop cultural spoiler, podcast that's unedited, unfiltered. They are publishing tomorrow because I helped get the episode on the back end, so I know what the sneak peek with this thing is. And they spoiled the movie Bright, the Netflix movie. That's what they go over and they discuss that and do a little deep dive on that one. So go over to provinggamer.com. They are our gracious hosts of this podcast, and check out all those other shows that they got. And, you could also comment on our show, which posts each and every Monday up on provinggamer.com. You can do comments on the articles there as well as dualscreens.com. If you want to follow the show on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And Matt, where could everybody find you? Where could everybody find your Vidya game on the social medias?
Yeah, so you can find me at Twitter, MadGuy90, M-A-D-G-U-Y 90. 90 doesn't even mean anything. It's not when I was born. It has no meaning whatsoever. You can find the video, the Streets of Rogue, on Steam, Xbox, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, all those eShops. Yeah.
You got a Facebook page or anything like that?
Nah.
Cool beans.
Nah, no Facebook.
Any super top secret Discord you want people to know about?
There is a Streets of Rogue Discord. Hell and if you have the game, there's a link to it, I guess, on the Steam forum. And if you have the game on Steam, then you can get to the Discord. Maybe I should make the Discord more visible to people who own the console version somehow, though.
Look at that. We're breaking ground here. All right. So that's awesome. If you want to check us out on Twitch, you can do so. We are at twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. You can also check out our YouTube page, which you can grab on dualscreens.com, because we don't have one of them quick little links. We don't have one of those youtube.com/whatevers, because we only have 35 subs, because you all suck and you won't go over there and sub to us. Do it, you big jerks. Type in Nintendo Dual Screens. That's dual with an E. It'll say, did you mean dual with an A? And you got to be like, fucking no. I know what I typed, YouTube. I know what I typed. And then you could subscribe to us. And then you could hit the bell and you'd be notified when we put something up. So yeah, do that. Special thanks to our contributors, Zazu Pitts of Sourdough Productions for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Matt Murray of, Game Stuff. And he's a contributing writer to us, but he also makes our little Twitch overlays. Thank you, Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines and Hit Buttons Gaming, for our Nintendo Dual Screens logo. And thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our podcast art. And you can follow him on social media at Angimoto, A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. Remember, support us on the Patreon. And if you do support us on the Patreon at the $5 hair tier, guess what you get? That's right. You get pre-show and or post-show audio when Andy and I just go and blabber on like two complete idiots about whatever we feel like talking about, you could do that. You just go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. You were an absolute pleasure to hang out with. I cannot wait to dive into Streets of Rogue. Thank you so much for coming on.
Really, all right, well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Andy, are we going to try and give away a copy of this bad boy for our Twitter contest?
I think we have to.
I think we're going to. I think that's what we're going to do. So yeah. That's the contest this week, folks. So remember, to be entered to win a copy of Streets of Rogue on the Nintendo Switch, that's what we're going to do it for, you have to retweet this episode on Twitter. That's it. That's all you have to do. We will close entries on the day that we record the podcast. I'm not doing that this week because you only had two, like 1.5 days to do it. But the following week, yes, you will have until probably like Friday or Saturday to enter the contest. So do it. Follow us at NDS Podcast. Look for the post of this episode and retweet it. That's all you have to do. And you will be entered to win a copy. That is it, folks. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, I want to announce next week's guest before we leave. So,
spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
Andy is going to Japan,
and the Philippines,
yes. Which means we are recording
all over Asia next week.
Which means we are recording in a weird schedule. So, when tomorrow from this recording is when we are recording the following week's show. So it's not going to be news heavy. It's going to be conversation heavy and interview heavy.
Right.
If there's anything that news that breaks, of course, we'll talk about it.
Right.
But I just wanted to preface that. And Andy, you can tell us who the guest is.
But I feel given the scope and the right. size and success of this game, having a whole episode to it kind of makes sense. It's a huge smash hit in recent Switch history. I'm talking about The Messenger.
Indeed. Indeed.
Oh, Sabotage man. Studios is going to be on the show.
Yes. Very exciting stuff. Very
excited. Super excited about that one.
We hung out with them at PAX East. Really good group of people over there. And can't wait to have them on the show to talk about The Messenger and the DLC and the Ninja Vacation, whatever, the Pacific, the island.
Yeah, it's called the Ninja Vacation Plus.
New Vacation Plus, yes, that's what it is. That's it, folks.
California Raisins.
Escape the Raisins if you can. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 108 for the week of July 22nd, 2019. Thank you, Andy, as always. Thank you, Matt. And as always, please be excellent to each other.